1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. I hope you think about those songs. We sing them often enough that it should be a melody that comes quickly to your heart during the week. And just telling the Lord, it is good to be a Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll pick up tonight in verse number 12. 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. Reading down to verse number 27. So quite a few verses tonight as we look into what the Lord has for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse number 12 and down through verse 27. I encourage you to follow along again in your Bible as I read aloud 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are the many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Sunday evening service. Lord, this time to come again tonight. Father, Sunday morning is a blessing. We rejoice in it. It's kind of busy. It's active. And yet, Father, we enjoy the fellowship and the preaching and all that you do. And Father, Sunday night is just kind of a more relaxing time where we can feed on your word and enjoy the time that we spend around it and enjoy the fellowship that we have with each other. And we pray, God, you'd take this time and make it beneficial to us spiritually. God, help us to be able to put out of our mind the thoughts, responsibilities of this life for just the next few minutes and to focus on what you have for each of us individually from the text that we have read tonight. Lord, we have different folks with different needs, different trials, different obstacles in their life, and yet, Father, we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are capable, able, and, Father, wanting to meet the needs that they struggle with or deal with right now. So use your word to do such. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you remember, as we started last week, Paul has changed course from the subjects that he's been talking about, division and contention and immorality and lawsuits one among another and all these things, and he has changed over to the issue of spiritual gifts. And he began that here in chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And it goes all the way to chapter 14, where he talks about the same thing in verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. And later in the chapter he mentions it again. So these three chapters in their context are all about spiritual gifts. In the first 11 verses that we studied last week, we looked at the information about spiritual gifts. And we'll not go back and go over all that. But you remember we listed the 9 spiritual gifts that were given in verse 8 down through verse number 10. All right, there was the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, the gift of discerning of spirits, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Those nine gifts were spelled out in 1 Corinthians 12, so we know exactly what the gifts were that God gave to the early church to validate their message. All right, when someone asked them how they knew it was of God, they had these gifts to indicate and show them these different things. So God gave different members of the church different gifts, diversity of gifts, for the unity of the body. So he gives the information back there in verse 1 through 11. Now in verse 12 through 27, he gives us an illustration. The nine gifts were given. Here's why they were given. And he illustrates the church. And we'll get wider than that. But he illustrates the body of Christ. That each one was given a different function and a different responsibility and a different job to perform so that the body as a whole could benefit. You know, I have the advantage of knowing when I come into church at any given service what I'm going to preach about. And not only what I'm going to preach about, some of you knew what we'd be in 1 Corinthians 12 because you've been here and that's what we've been doing. But I know the details. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm thinking with it. And with that thought in mind, I sat there at the front door this morning while everybody's coming in, and I was just thanking God as each person came in because everybody is involved in something. Everybody is doing something. And you're not all doing the same thing, thank God. Because if we had everybody doing the same thing, the other things wouldn't get done. But with the big variety of things that can be done within the body of Christ and even within the local church, it's thankful that God has enabled us, from teachers to cleaners to cookers to whatever it might be, bus drivers, all, everybody, when you come in, you have a part in this body. And those things have been distributed by God. Now, we're making application because we're talking about the early church. We're talking about these gifts that were given. And those gifts that are listed there are not here right now. Those were for that church, for the church at that time until they were done away with. But we also do have gifts today. And I would say there are more than nine. I'd say there's whole kinds of gifts, but they're all given by God for the functioning of the body. Diversity of gifts, diversity of abilities for the benefit of the body. The problem comes when somebody has one of those abilities or gifts and thinks that it's for their benefit, or thinks that they're higher or nobler than somebody else's gift or benefit. That's when the schism, verse number 25, that's when the schism takes place in the body. I thank God for Bible Baptist Church. We were talking, a couple of us were out there in the lobby talking, not gossiping, but talking about just some things we've heard recently, some churches that are going through some struggles and some issues and some dissension and contention. And we were just talking about how blessed we are that in 35 years we've had some folks that come and go. That happens, that's not a problem. But never a schism in the body. And it's because we recognize that all of us have been given abilities, been given gifts by God for the benefit of the one, the benefit of the body. And so Paul here in 1 Corinthians 12 is going to use the body to illustrate those gifts and how they are used. Let's look at it in two ways this evening as far as my outline is concerned. And that's first of all in verse 12 and 13, we look at the mystical body. The mystical body. Let me tell you right off, you don't understand the mystical body. That's why it's the mystical body. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about it. And we're going to understand it, comprehend it, without fully understanding or comprehending it. But notice what it says in verse number 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. The Bible says that the body of Christ has many members. Now let me be careful to explain that the body of Christ is not the same as the local church. Bible Baptist Church is a local church, and we have many members. Thank God for that. But when it's talking about the body of Christ, it's talking about all born-again believers. All those that have put their faith and trust in Christ. The body of Christ extends from Cambridge, Ohio, or Bidesville, Ohio, down to Marietta, up to Port Washington, up to Coshocton, as we prayed for the church up there this morning, all around the state, all around the country, all around the world, missionaries we support on foreign fields in Japan and Vietnam and all this. When people get saved, they become part of that body, the body of Jesus Christ. So we have a great unity in that body. And Paul talks about it in verse number 12, saying it is the body of Christ. I can't understand that. I don't understand how all of us together can be part of the body of Christ. My mind is finite. I understand, and I appreciate Paul's illustration of this body, because I understand this body. I understand this body too well. I know its problems. I know its difficulties. I know its aches and pains. I know its fleshly impulses. I know this body too well. But the body of Christ is a completely different thing, consisting of all people that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So notice it says in verse 12, that is the body. It hath many members. Verse 13, I'm going to call the miracle of the body. All right, the members of the body in verse 12, the miracle of the body. Look at verse number 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. How do you get into that body, the body of Christ? Is there a sign-up sheet? Is there an application you got to fill out? You have to send in a photograph. You got to file paperwork. You got to send in a fee for it. How do you become a member of the body of Christ? And can I say there's only one way? By faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, according to that verse, verse 13, the Spirit baptizes you into that body. Now be very careful, because some really misunderstand this verse. That spiritual baptism is something that happens at the moment of your conversion. The moment you put your faith and trust. It's not a later thing. It's not a secondary thing. It is something that happens the moment you got saved that was invisible to the naked eye. When somebody trusts Christ, as Pastor mentioned out there today, when somebody yesterday on visitation, last week on visitation, when somebody puts their faith and trust in Christ, all we see is the outward reaction. Sometimes they're excited, they're happy. Sometimes they're shedding tears because years of sin are being washed away. Whatever the outside result is, that's all we can see. What we can't see is the inside operation. And that is that God is sending His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to come down and indwell that person and literally to baptize them in the Spirit of God. I would ask you this question. Have you been baptized by the Spirit? And when I say baptized by the Spirit, I'm not asking you if you can speak in other tongues. I'm not asking if you've got the gift of prophecy, the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, one of those things. I'm saying, have you been saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Because when you do, He baptizes you. He completely, we can say it this way, He immerses you in His Spirit. You're baptized into the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, into the body of Christ. And notice what he says in verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Writing to the believers. Writing to Christians. He's saying we are baptized by that. That's why somebody can't say, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. You don't get the baptism by the Spirit by being a good person. You don't get it by keeping the commandments. You don't get it by going to church. You get it by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so all that do that are baptized by the Spirit. It is a spiritual baptism, not a water baptism. And again, one of the biggest problems with people misunderstanding the Scriptures is whenever they see the word baptism, they're thinking water. And when it doesn't say water, it doesn't mean water. Romans chapter 6 is the great example of that. It talks about baptism, but it's not talking about water. And so many confuse those different things. For by one Spirit are we baptized. It doesn't happen when you get dunked in the tank. It happens when you put your faith and trust in Christ. And without that, you don't have the Spirit of God. Romans 8 says, if any man have not the Spirit, he hath not life. All right, so it comes by the Spirit of God. We get the baptism of the Spirit. Not only do we get the baptism of the Spirit in verse 13, but we get the bestowing of the Spirit. Look at the end of the verse. And have all been all made to drink into one Spirit. When you get the Spirit of God at salvation, you don't need a second baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't need a second filling. If you know your Bible, you know the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, is one of the three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And as part of that Godhead, he is a person, not a thing. He is a person. He can be grieved. You can grieve the Spirit of God. You can lie to the Spirit of God. And when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Spirit of God, Peter said, Why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? You've not lied to men, but unto God. And so the Holy Ghost is a person. You can't get half of a person. You can't get part of a person. So when you got baptized by the Spirit of God, you got all of the Spirit of God in you at one time. And now you can partake of it. You can drink of it. And the more you drink of it, the more your spirit's going to soar. It's not that you need more of the Spirit. It's all there. It's how much you subdue your flesh and yield to the Spirit and drink of the Spirit, which has been bestowed upon you by the baptism of the Spirit. It's a wonderful truth that made you a part of the body of Christ. You're part of something even far greater than Bible Baptist Church. You're a part of, you know, some churches dissolve. And if a church, God forbid this, whatever happened there, but if a good, independent, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church dissolves, folds up, closes its doors, that doesn't mean that everybody that was in there is no longer part of the body of Christ. Your church membership doesn't determine your membership in the body of Christ. Your faith in Jesus Christ did. Church membership is separate. Church attendance is separate. But we're all baptized by one Spirit and drinking of one Spirit. That's the unity that we have in Christ. Now look, if you would, down in verse number 14 to verse 27. We move from the mystical body to the material body. The part we understand, and here's the illustration that Paul's going to give. That like as the body of Christ, and we're going to think of it as a local church, though the body of Christ is bigger. I've explained that. We're going to think of it. He likens it to the human body. And he says this in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. He says later in verse 19, if all the body were one member. I think there's a kid's movie, Monsters, Inc. And some of you may and some of you may not. But one of the characters in that is a big eye. I mean, his whole body is just basically, he's got a little stick arms or something like that. Been a long time since my kids were young enough to watch it. But there was one that, all he was an eye. That was his whole thing. One big eye was the whole body. Aren't you glad that's not how we're made? Aren't you glad we're not made like that? If the whole body were one member, where would the other faculties be? Where would the other thing? So he says in verse 14, the body is not one member, but many. And he doesn't list all the members. He lists four of them, basically, to give the example. He says in verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Notice the functions of the members of the body. The function is for unity. All of them working in harmony together to produce what is best for the one body. And here you've got the foot and the hand. And he says, if the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, would the foot be jealous of the hand? I think about that. You're up here and you're watching and I wave my hands and use my hands and you notice my hands. Not one of you has given one ounce of thought to my feet. Most of you, I bet, I'm hiding it, you don't know what color shoes I've got on. Now you might guess. You know what? We don't pay attention to the feet. You know what we do with the feet? The hands are visible. The hands are out there. You're looking at them. You see them. We use them to play instruments. We use them to do all kinds of things. The feet, we stick a sock on it. Unless you're Bruce Geese, all right. I noticed his feet when he came in this, because I knew I was going to be preaching on anyway. We stick a sock on it. We hide it. And then we put it inside a shoe on top of that. And that toe looks up and says, I wish I could be a hand. I wish I could be a finger. I wish I could be noticed. I wish I could be somebody, be something, be part of something that's visible. Paul is saying, is that what the foot does? Does it wish it could be the hand? I thought about it. We watch these young ladies and young men play these instruments. I think of the piano. And the piano players get over there and they're playing a piano. And if you're interested in music or you like that at all, you're watching their hands. You're watching them move up and down those 77 keys, 72. You don't know? Wow, okay. Whatever number of keys there are on that piano, I think it's in the 70s, they're up there, they're hitting, tickling the ivories, as they say. They're playing all those things up there. Did you know, and maybe many of you don't know, did you know that underneath the piano are three pedals? And underneath those that piano where the three pedals are, with their feet, they're hitting the sustain pedal or the dampening pedal or the third one that I don't know what it does at all. But while they're playing the piano, they're hitting, and I might not even got the other two right, there's no telling. But at least I knew there was three. They don't even know how many keys there are on it, all right? 88? Everybody's not gonna, I'm gonna make you go over and count them right now. How many black and how many white? No, we won't even get into that. Okay. All those keys, anyways, they're on the piano. And they go over there and they play that piano. We watch their hands. We never watch their feet as they're hitting those pedals that makes what they're doing with their hands come alive and help them. We don't pay attention to that. And so Paul is saying simply this. Should the foot say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You need your feet. You need to be able to get up in the morning and use them to walk, but they don't get the attention. People don't notice them like you notice the hands. So is the body of Christ. Some of you have functions that people don't see. You're not standing in front of everybody. You're not leading the singing. You're not teaching a Sunday school class. Many of you are. You're not in the limelight, as it says. But you know what? Most of the work is not done in the limelight. Most of the work is done behind the scenes. And so the foot has no reason to say, I wish I could be a hand. Because if we had four hands and no feet, we'd be in trouble. And so there's diversity, hands and feet, diversity for the unity of the body. He goes on to say in verse 16, we can have fun with these. Verse number 16, if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm stuck around on the side. Nobody notices me. We see the eyes. Oh, did you notice their eyes? Nobody ever says, did you notice their ears? We don't pay attention to the ears. Unless you have big ones? Okay. Okay, I'm going to get there in just a minute, okay? And you're going to like this. You guys are going to like this. I hope you're paying attention. All right? The ears don't get any attention. They're on the side. The eyes are in front. People are looking at the eyes. Ladies like to put a lot of jewelry on the ears to try to get attention on the ears, and the only one that notices them is the other ladies. Yeah, I'm in trouble now. Unless, of course, they take and put them in the front, and then everybody sees them, but that's a whole other story. But they're put on the side, they're put on the ears. Now, a guy might put them on there, and then we've got bigger problems than just that. We won't talk about that. I'd really get in trouble online for that one. But nobody notices the ears. They're planted on the side. They are different sizes. They're smaller and bigger. But most people don't know that. They don't observe that. They don't see that. And the ear can't say, I wish I was the eye. I wish I was in the front of the face. I'm glad it's not. Could you imagine trying to fit those things on the front of our face along with our eyes, nose, and all that? Somebody said years ago, aren't you glad that God made your nose this way instead of upside down the other way? Because if you did, you'd have to carry an umbrella around all the time because you'd drown every time it rained if your nose was turned upside down like the nostrils up. God has designed us perfectly and wonderfully. And he's put each thing in its place and the ears are on the side. Are they unimportant? Absolutely not. I was reading something recently about the ear, and I don't know if it was in line with this message or not, but the outer ear and the inner ear and the eardrum and the things, all these parts that make up that one thing. It is definitely valuable. And some of us that get up in years and find out we're not hearing as good as we used to hear, we appreciate how valuable those things are. Sometimes we look at the body of Christ, the body of the church, and we think, well, that's not important, until you find out when you don't have use of it, it was very important. When there's someone that doesn't fill that role, or someone that doesn't do that job, or someone that doesn't take care of that thing. You don't know, the old song said, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And many times in the body, you don't know what you had until you lose the ability to use that. And so God has given that diversity. He's given those different things for that purpose. Hold your place there, and if you would, go left one book, go back to Romans. Romans chapter 12. Speaking of the diversity in the church, the diversity in the body, as it were, and the different functions. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. That's a blessing. There is diversity. There is variety. He says in verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. The hand and the foot, the eye and the ear are all members of the same body. God has given them different functions, given them different gifts, as it were, hearing, seeing, walking, touching. And yet all of them work together to make the one body function. That's what Paul is emphasizing in 1 Corinthians and mentions here. He says in Romans 12 and verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We have diversity of members, diversity of gifts, that's the context, but all for the benefit of that one body. We have unity and we have uniqueness. I can sound like a televangelist now. You are unique. You are special in the sight of God. And in this text, we would be right. Because God has enabled us to do what we do for the benefit of the body. And so we look at ourselves and say, all right, God, what have you given me? What can I do to benefit, not myself, though you have to do that sometimes. What can I do to benefit the body, to benefit the church, to benefit the unity of the saints? So we have that uniqueness in verse 15, 16, 17. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where is the smelling? But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Don't worry about what you can't do. Do what you can do. Not everybody can be the pastor. Not everybody can lead the singing. Not everybody could play the piano. I don't even know how many keys there are on it. All right, we found out, didn't we? Okay. Not everybody can do every job, but what you can do, make sure you are doing, because it benefits the body as a whole. He said in verse 19, if they were all one member, where are the body? But now ye are many members, yet one body. And so we see the function of the members of the body. Then in verse 21 to verse 27, we see the fellowship of the members of the body. This is what makes it great. We can fellowship with one another, and if somebody else is doing something we're not doing, we don't have to feel like we're supposed to be doing what they're doing. We don't have to feel compelled that they are the standard, and they are the one that's doing it, and we're supposed to do what they're doing. I learned this a long, long time ago in the ministry, that a lot of different churches emphasize a lot of different things, and you all can't emphasize the same thing. One guy says, well, your church should be doing this, and if your church isn't doing this, then your church isn't doing what it's supposed to do. Another guy says, well, if your church isn't doing this, then your church isn't doing what it's supposed to do. We have a diversity. We have different gifts and different abilities. We do different things, even from one church to another church in many areas. One guy that told me that one time, he said, if your church is not active in printing gospel tracts and bundling them up and mailing them out, then you're not fulfilling the Great Commission. Every church should be doing that. Well, God hasn't led us to do that. We do that from time to time in helping put the Bibles together, but it's not a daily part of our ministry. He has given different gifts to different people and different churches, and we all benefit the body as a whole. It's a really wonderful thing when you think about it. So notice the fellowship of the members of the body, beginning in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. All right, we need every part of our body. We need all of it to function well. Some people learn how to operate less one limb because they have to. Some learn to operate less one kidney because they have to. But as a general rule, we want everything intact, everything where it should be, so that we can fully function for that cause and have fellowship one among another. And not worry if you're the left arm and I'm the right arm. You're the ear and I'm the eye. You're the mouth and I'm the foot, whatever it might be. We all have that function. He says in verse 22, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. That toe that gets stuck in that sock inside that shoe. I have talked to fellows that have lost their big toe. There was a guy named Hal Herford back in the church I got saved in Hawaii way back when. And he was out mowing and slipped and fell, and it took his big toe off. And he had tremendous trouble with balance and walking after that. Just from that, I mean, nobody even sees it. It's no big deal, right? But that one little thing out of whack. I mean, you've all stepped on the Lego at night, or the jacks, whatever it might have been back in our day, or hit the corner of the bed with your little toe going around, that little member screams and hollers and lets you know it's there. It's just as important as every other member that's there. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more honor. What if the eye said to the hand, I have no need of thee? How many times do you use your hand to wipe something out of your eye? And you know, you get dust in your eye and you simply do something like that. You do that without even thinking twice. But what if the eye said, get away from me? I don't need your help. I can do this. I can take care of that myself. I don't need you. Who do you think you're better than I am? No, when that eye needs dust taken out, the hand automatically comes to its rescue and does what it needs to do. They function and work together. And so Paul is saying, these gifts have been given. These gifts have been distributed. Everybody in their own right, as God, as it has pleased him to make the body function together. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. That's a tough one to try to think through and think out. And I guess we got to put ourselves some ways back in that day. You know, back in that day, they washed their feet much more than they washed their hands. Because their feet were unshod. They usually wore sandals around from place to place, and they picked up dirt, and every place they went, they had to wash their feet. That part that was uncomely, that part that you don't pay that much attention to, was the one that needed to be taken care of. We had a girl several years ago, one of our foster girls. And some of you might remember the two girls that were sisters together, and both of them, we had them together, and the younger one would interpret for the older one. Basically, the older one couldn't hear very well, so the younger one, everything that was said, she would say it louder to her sister so she could hear it. And we thought, boy, what in the world is this going on? You know, the older one just can't hear anything. And the younger one, that for years that had been her function. Whatever anybody says, I tell my sister louder so she can hear it. Well, we ended up taking her to the ENT, the ear, nose, and throat doctor. And they went and looked inside that ear, and they found so much stuff in that ear that was blocking her ear canal and her hearing, that once they took that big glob, and I'm talking about a lot, They'd never seen that much before. Once they took that out there, she could hear fine. And so it was just a matter of what was functioning was not functioning normally. And what you couldn't see down in there needed attention that had not been given attention. You know what that made me do? It makes me wipe my ears out every time. I get in the shower, I clean those things out really good, because that's how badly it can build up and how it can go away. Those things that are uncomely need our attention, even sometimes more than that which is faith. I don't often wash my eyes. They kind of just naturally get water, but I wash my ears. I wash my feet. I'm telling you too much about me personally right now. All right, but I'm thinking you're in the same boat anyways, that you do the same thing. But that's what Paul, he's drawing from that human body and saying no part is unimportant. And even the ones that we don't think are important, that we don't notice that much, need care, need attention, need to be there for the functioning of the body as a whole. Nobody does nothing. Everybody has a part, one way or the other. Sometimes folks say, well, I wish I could do more. Well, I wish you could too. No, I'm just kidding. They say, I wish I could do more. It's all right, do what you can. Do what you can for the benefit of the body. Verse number 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which would lack, that there should be no schism in the body. A contentious division. That's what a schism is. It's not just a division, it's a contentious division. And that happens in churches way too often. One group against another group, pitting against each other. And they're all supposed to be members one of another, functioning together as the body of Christ in service to the Lord. That there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. If you get nothing else out of this tonight, get the end of verse 25, verse 26, and verse 27, and remember these things. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. There should be no jealousy between the hand and the foot, the eye and the ear, the parts of the body. They're all put in position and place by God so that the body can function the way it's supposed to function. Verse 27, now are ye the body of Christ and members in particular. Be thankful for one another. I love the prayer list that Miss Linda makes out for us. It's back there. I've got it in the front of my Bible. And often when I do my daily Bible reading, when I get done, I open it up and I go to the church family list. And I go through each of the names. And I pray for each of those people, each of you individually that are on that list. Not extensively, not in a great detail, but I call each of those names out and pray for each one. Because all of us together, no one of us, none of us could do this alone. We all need to be part of that body that functions as a whole and brings honor and glory to the Lord. Through that diversity, we have unity as the body of Christ, and thank God for that. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.